Well, good morning, everyone. I must tell you that it is not fun to drive in the United States. The last time I was here, Papa Mark, told me that I wasn't ready. And you know, a young man, when you're young, one of the problems of being young is you are too overconfident. And I thought, no, Mark, I can do this. But I eventually went back to New Guinea, and the Lord has been good to me. I had a ministry vehicle that I drove for 2 years, almost 3 years. And at the back of my mind, it was this thought that one of these days I'll be driving in the United States. And I got out here. I'm on the road. I didn't know about, nobody told me about the tolls. Okay? So I ran the tolls, and I ended up with $200 worth of tolls, tickets, violation. My office called me and said, you better stop doing this. I said, do what? Stop running the tolls. I said, how about you tell me about how I can stop run the tolls? But thankfully, I survived. Pastor Tim, I survived, and it's a great blessing. I've been around as far as Maine, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, New York, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, North, South Carolina, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee. I cannot believe I travel all over that part of the United States. And the good thing is I'm out of the snowy region now, so I can enjoy Florida. If you have your Bible this morning, Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Before I could say any word, I would like to personally thank Pastor Tim, the leadership of this church, and the congregation as a whole for your continued prayer and support toward me and the ministry of Word of Life, Papua New Guinea. You guys have been a great blessing to my life personally, and if I am living in the United States, I would be a member of this church. I would love to come here and be a member of this church and serve here with you guys. Too bad I have a membership back home in my country. Mark chapter number 5, verse 19 and 20. It says, I'll read from the King James Bible. It says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and how hath had mercy or compassion on thee. Verse 20, and he departed and began publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray and begin. Our Father in heaven, the reading of the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, as far as the heavens are high above the earth, God, you removed our transgressions. Scripture says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. It exhorts us this morning to not to forget all your benefits, how you've redeemed our lives, you've healed our diseases, you've crowned us with loving kindness and with tender mercies. God, salvation is your story, and we are part of that story. Bless your word this morning, speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter number 5. This is, every time I read this passage, I am reminded of my testimony. I am reminded of the day when I had no Jesus, the period in my life where I did not know Jesus as my Savior. When I lived for myself. It reminds me of the time when I came in confrontation with the person of Jesus Christ and the truths of the gospel. And it reminded me of how God was thinking of me when I wasn't thinking of Him. How mercy could reach down and touch lives. How God's grace can reach out and touch lost sinners and give them another chance to live for Him. This passage is dear to my heart. And as we read this morning, Psalms 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom God has redeemed from the hands of the enemy." You think about the day you first came to faith. You think about those moments when you thought that was it. This is life. You thought everything was bad. But all of a sudden, God stepped into your life. And everything changed. You realize that there is more to life than just breathing. There's more to being here, out here. That God, now God has stepped into your heart, all things have become new. Old is gone, new has come. When I read this passage, I think about my life, my testimony, how God stepped into my life, and how He changed my life and sent me back as a missionary to my own people. It really is a story about how God can change life and use that one life to change many lives. How God can give testimony, how God can use our life to reach other lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think you have your bulletin this morning, and I was thinking I was going to be the only one that shows up here, but it turned out there's Brenda too, so I told Mark, I thought, they put this photo as if we're already married, so that's a good thing. People might be asking, are you married? No, I'm not. I'm engaged. We'll talk about it at the CE hour. But when natives become missionaries, think about it. I'm a Papua New Guinean. I'm the only, probably one of the Papua New Guineans. There's a lot of Papua New Guinean missionaries I know. And I am a native to Papua New Guinea, born in New Guinea, raised in New Guinea. Everything about me is Papua New Guinean. And when Jesus stepped into my life, I am an ideal missionary to Papua New Guinea. I will not have to worry about anything. I don't have language barriers, food barriers. The only thing I'm allergic to is oatmeal, believe it or not. Otherwise, in New Guinea, one thing good about having a New Guinean son is that they will eat everything. I'm a New Guinean back to my country. But this morning, let's read the testimony of this man. I don't know his name. In fact, he nicknamed himself the Legion, or Legion, saying, "For we are many." That was the only name that this guy had. I don't know what people called him back then, but that was what he was known for. How do we make natives become missionaries? How do we inspire hearts of young people in their own country so they can serve God and reach out to their own? I think the best missionary is a native missionary. Is someone that is in their own country, who knows what it's like in their own country, who knows the people, who knows the culture, who knows and can be able to minister to their own people. And I think New Guinea is beginning to come across this part of the in time where we are beginning to see God raise missionaries. I'm one of them. There's more out there in New Guinea. The verse says, "And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes." Now you picture with me the significance of this one verse. They, that's Jesus and the 12 disciples, came to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee. They went to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, or the people, or the region of Gadara. Here is a Jewish rabbi named Jesus with his 12 Jewish men crossing over the boundaries of their country, their nationality, into another region altogether. Now, you know that Jews and Gentiles don't have dealings, right? There is a separation between Jews and Gentiles. In fact, in the temple, there is a wall that separates a Jew from the Gentile. Paul says Christ came down and broke that wall, the wall of separation. But typical Jewish guys over into the regions of the Gadarenes, and I like to think of myself as one of those disciples. They could not ask Jesus the questions, Lord, do you know where we're going? Maybe they were thinking, we're not supposed to go there. Is Jesus crazy? What is he trying to do? We are Jewish. We don't go to the Gentile territory. I think the word here is they came to the other side. And that's what it is. When it comes to reaching people, it takes going to the other side. Going to them. That's what the Great Commission is. Go. Notice what they broke. When these guys got on the ship and when they went to the other side, they stepped across national boundaries. National boundaries. There were Jews going to Gentile territory. Not only national boundaries, they stepped across racial boundaries as well. I remember that in John chapter number 4, this lady said, how you, being a Jew, would want to drink from me, being a Samaritan? You see, there a difference. There is a distinction. There is a barrier there. She said, I can't give you water from my cup. You're a Jew. Not only racial boundaries, but cultural boundaries. Cultural boundaries. You know, every time I come out here, one of the questions that people ask me over and over again is about the culture. New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, 850 tribal languages. Mark's been there as a missionary. Every province, 22 provinces, different in their own ways. Cultural values. I am going to marry this young lady and I am compelled to do things the cultural way. I have to do the bride price. I have to pay for it. Culture, people have culture. And when we become missionaries, when we go into people groups, it's important to understand those things. They have cultures. It said that a new tribe's missionary would take about 10 years to live with the people, learn their language, learn their culture, and produce a scripture in their language. How would you like to give 10 years of your life just to do that? For Jesus Christ to translate scriptures into people groups, into the language of the people group there. But I think the worst part, the part that we are now in, one of the biggest barriers that we are now in is not national, not racial, not cultural, but belief systems. Jesus and his 12 men were crossing onto the other side where they have their own belief systems. Of course, if we read down, you'll see Jesus cast out the demon. They rushed into the pigs that are there, and instead of people seeing the goodness of God and what God can do, they told Jesus, leave, because your presence here means an economical disaster to the country or the region of Gadara. It means we are going to lose our money. You have to leave. Belief systems. One thing about United States, you guys know that, is everybody has their own opinion, huh? Everybody has their own thing about something. When it comes to Jesus, salvation, everything, anything to do with, we have our own thing. And sometimes we elevate our own thing, our own views, to a point where we ignore the grace of God. the mercy of God that can change lives. Here, Jesus and his disciples got to the other side. See, friends, if we want to reach people, we have to get up and get to the other side. It may mean stepping across barriers, but our Savior is known for breaking barriers. It was not enough for him to come as far as heaven to earth. He had to get on that boat and get to the other side to reach this one man. Get into the other side. Jesus did that. And my ministry back home, it's a typical getting to the other side. It's getting into schools, getting into communities infested with crime, and young people live in a big percentage of our young people live in communities, in settlements. And these are the young people where they will not, in a given time, they will not set foot in a local church. They will not come. That means you have to go. That means you have to get to the other side. And if it means to go into a notorious criminal squatter settlement just to risk your life and just to get in there so you can share the gospel, just like Jesus, get into the other side. The first step to reaching people is for us Christians to get to the other side, to go where they are, just like our Savior. How can we reach young people? How can I reach young people back in New Guinea and produce more missionaries, more young servants of the Lord? I have to get to the other side. You have your other side here in the United States. I don't know whatever that is, but it may be your neighbor at just next to your home. It may be a friend at work. Or it may be the challenges of today's age in the United States. Or everything that the culture permits, everything that the culture says yes. And in order to, we can't, you know, you cannot. I think Satan is too good. Satan brings up all these problems, and now we Christians are afraid to go meet those people with those issues. We tend to have our own side of life as well, instead of getting to the other side, getting and sharing the gospel. Not only was this guy, Jesus had to go to the other side. In verse 2 comes out, it says about how our Savior and us, we can focus on God's salvation for the natives. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who at his dwellings, now listen to this guy's testimony, who at his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, nor with chains. Because that he had been often bound with feathers and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the feathers broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said unto him, or said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjore thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. The Pentecostal world will read this passage and they would see the proof of exorcism, casting out demons. They would say, Let's become exorcists. Let's become like Jesus. Let's cast out demons. If you read Feather, pigs where these demons came out and were cast into, the demons went into those pigs and they were drowned. They went into the sea and were drowned. In New Guinea, we have a group, a religious, now I'm not calling these religious names because I don't like them. I'm just saying this is what they believe. In New Guinea, we would say a Seventh-day Adventist group would read this passage and say, see, you shouldn't eat pork. My fiance's dad is a Seventh-day Adventist, but the men eat pork like crazy. You know, I was thinking that because of his Seventh-day background,
I won't worry about the pigs. I won't pay him pigs because he doesn't eat pigs. Well, it was a horror that day for me to see him eat pigs. I was like, oh, there you go. I'll have to give him pigs. But here, you see, when I read this passage, I don't see exorcism. I don't really go there. I don't go where Seventh-day Adventists would go, but I think I see what's worth focusing on is Jesus changing a man's life. What the gospel can do in the life of a person. It really is the big deal. And here you see a man, it says the man has no personality. Think about it. Living in tombs, indwelt by hundreds, literally hundreds of demons. He was cutting himself. The man could not feel himself. He could not think for himself. He could not feel for himself. He could not make decisions for himself. He was not, no personality. I mean, personality is the virtue of being a person. That you can think, you can feel, you can make decisions. But this guy does not have that. Because he was being completely taken over by demon in his life that he was not regarded as a person. Not only was he without personality, he was an outcast. It says that he had his dwellings in the tombs. Think about it. You guys know what a tomb is? It's a burial ground. Nobody in their right mind would want to go and live there. But he was an outcast. Doesn't have a proper home like you and I do. Didn't have a place he could rest his head. He was an outcast. No friends, no families. No loved ones. He was nobody back then. Not only that, he was, when the society sees him, they see a problem. They say, we've tried to bind this guy. We've tried 100 times. We put big chains on him. But every time he breaks those chains, we're down. We don't want anything to do with him. He's a problem. And that's what the world does today. We see young men and young, we see people whose lives are messed up with sin. And we say, you are a problem. We don't need you here. We don't want you. There's people out there who may not necessarily be living in tombs. But I tell you what, if a person does not have the Spirit of God and the Son of God, if they do not have God living in their lives is an open door to any influence. They have no security. Anything can walk into their lives and mess up their lives. They can be controlled by addictions. They can be controlled by friends. They can be controlled by influences that are stronger, that it can be attributed to works of demons. This man was as hopeless as he can be. Bible says Jesus reached out to that man in a conversation, cast out the demons from him. When I think about this guy, I think about the testimonies of women like the woman of Samaria. She was a social outcast too. She only comes out during a certain time in the day when there's nobody around so she can fetch water from the well. She was living in sin and had more husbands. Her relationship was not good. Nobody wanted to do anything with her. And Jesus decided to reroute and go through. It says that he must go through Samaria. Jesus had to go there so he can meet up with this person, this outcast, and meet her need for eternal life. Apostle Paul, Jewish. He says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. from the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. And all these big titles that Apostle Paul had. One time he was on his way to Damascus. And all of a sudden he met Jesus along the way. Had a conversation with him along the way. Just like the Samaritan woman had a conversation with Jesus. Just like this guy right here is having a conversation, being under the influence of demon, with Jesus. I think the most beautiful thing we can do is introduce people to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who they are. If they are demon possessed, or if they have a broken marriage, or if they are all crazy, all out religious zealots like Apostle Paul, sharing Jesus. Simply giving them an opportunity to encounter the person of Jesus Christ. That's what makes all the difference in the world. This guy, as lost as he can be, was with Jesus Christ. I remember the night when I came to faith. My cousin told me that this camp, it's a Word of Life back to school camp, and one thing good about this camp is you get to eat a lot of food. And I said, let's do this. You know? Because I come from a family where my mom and dad separated. I had a lot of baggage in my life, bitterness, anger. I took matters into my own hands. I was doing drugs, alcohol, got involved in a neighborhood gang. I was just doing all those things. I looked so malnourished because of my addiction to drugs. And I thought, a week at a camp, eating three times a day, would turn my world around. And I need some muscles. I'm all I can see is just bones. And I went to that camp, I was having it. I was killing it, you know. They say seconds, thirds, Joshua is one of those up front, you know. I ate like crazy in an attempt to gain a few more pounds. That night I sat and I heard these beautiful words. He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son had not life. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. I was looking for life, and I heard about life with Jesus. If I have Jesus, I have this life. No, Jesus, I don't have this life. And I thought to myself, boy, I have a tummy full of food, but a heart that's empty. No, Jesus. And that night of many young people who raised their hands, who went forward and trusted Jesus as their Savior, I was one of them. I wasn't possessed by a demon, but I had the same need this man had back then. He needed Jesus. I needed Jesus too. Now that he's saved, put in his right mind, how can we reach the natives? With not only going to them and sharing the gospel, breaking the barriers, going to the other side, not only giving them the opportunity to share Christ, but when they come to Christ, this is what happened, and this is a beautiful sight. In verse 19 and 20, in fact, verse 18, 17, it says, and they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. That's those people who saw what Jesus did. And when he was coming to the ship, that's Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Imagine a man who is newly saved, who has been restored. For the very first time, he could feel himself. Once the demon left, he could feel the pain for the very first time, because he was cutting himself. And all those wounds and all those sore and all those, imagine feeling yourself for the very first time after being numbed, you know. Here is this guy, and his very first decision was, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be one of your disciples. It would be amazing if people trust Jesus, and at that very same time they said, I want to serve Jesus. Jesus, I want to serve you. Too bad sometimes Christian life is getting saved, and it takes some more years before we say, I want to serve Jesus. But this guy gets to serve Jesus, makes his decision, and Jesus says, how be it, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for thee, how that he had had compassion on thee. This is what Jesus did. Jesus said, we have a situation here. I have to go back. Your country don't need me here. But they do need you. Now you have a story to tell. And I could almost see Jesus commissioning in this guy on the western shores of Gadara. He's on his knees and Jesus commissions him, go and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had had mercy on him. Simply put, Jesus tells him, go tell your story of how I became part of your story. Verse 20 says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I think when this man walked down the regions of the streets of Gadara, everybody were wondering, is this not the guy who was demon-possessed because there's marks all over him? Is this not the man? Is this not the man? Everybody want to hear his story. And when he opened his mouth, it's all about Jesus. Bible says, we read it this morning, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Because of his mercy, he can reach a lost sinner. And because of his mercy, that lost sinner can have this second chance to live for him and tell his story to his people. Testimony is all about how Jesus walked into our life, stepped into our life, how he changed our lives, and how we can be witnesses. A genuine Christian will not trust Jesus and live for himself. A genuine Christian comes to faith, understands that this life is no longer his, no longer hers. They would lay it down to be servants of the Most High God. They would serve Jesus with all their hearts. Friends, this is what we do, what I do back in New Guinea. My heart is to reach the young people of Papua New Guinea with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that God can use Papua New Guineans. If he can use me, he can use maybe 100 more, 1,000 more. That we can really, your support to me is helping me prepare more missionaries for Papua New Guinea. It's the big picture of helping me go into those places to get to the other side and to share the gospel, give young people the opportunity to encounter the person of Jesus Christ, who alone will change their lives, and they would in turn give their lives to Jesus to reach more young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what the scripture read in 1 Thessalonians, and let's conclude with this 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And this is what Paul did. Paul had a ministry with the Thessalonians. This is how he commanded them. In verse 5 it says, for our gospel came, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, for our gospel came unto you in word only. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples, or examples, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you, I love this verse, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. It says, from you sounded out the word. You became followers, and you sounded out the word. We want to do that in the beginning. We want to go out and sound the gospel to every part of New Guinea, to reach every young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter number 5, verse 19 to 20. Think about it. Think about what God can do. Salvation is possible when Jesus is in it. It really is God's work of changing lives and using those lives to change more lives. God bless you. Thank you very much.